Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Trundlebed Tales. Today is a very special day. It is February 7th, and that means it is Laura Ingalls Wilder's birthday, and also Charles Dickens, if you care about that. But we're all talking, Laura, and what I hope is going to go on today, it's a little different than our normal episodes in that I want people to call in, or you can chat in the chat room and tell us your favorite Laura story. So you can either tell us how you became a Little House fan, or you can tell us how you first learned of Laura Ingalls Wilder, or you can tell us your favorite Laura-related story, which can be pretty much anything. It can be something having to do with making maple syrup. It could be when you made Laura's gingerbread for the first time. It could be when you got to take a trip and see a place Laura lived. Whatever, I want you to call in now and share with me what your Laura experience is. And I have just sent out... I'm just sending out now on Twitter a reminder of the phone number, and if you need it, the number is 1-877-633-9389. That is 1-877-633-9389, and that is a toll-free number. So if you want to call in, you can do that. And as always, the chat room is open. And we have our first caller, it looks like, ready to go. So I'm going to, when I recognize you before I put you on, because I do not have a call screener, so the Blog Talk Radio switchboard gives me your number. So I'm going to give you your area code first. So area code 508, you are on the air. Welcome to the birthday party.
Hello, Sarah. This is Kathleen Wall.
Oh, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Well, it's Laura's birthday, so it's got to be a good day, right?
Absolutely. I had no idea that her birthday was this time of year. That's something I didn't know about her.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's such it's a little bit unfortunate that it is in February, because people want to have events and library things and things on around her birthday, because then they can, you know, say that in the publicity. And at least here in the Midwest, they always end up getting canceled.
Oh,
it's
well.
Such terrible weather. Mm-hmm.
It's hard when you're squeezed in between Groundhog Day and Valentine's Day anyhow.
That's true. It really could be a little better time, but I'm sure they weren't thinking about that at the time. They didn't know that everybody'd want to celebrate. So do you have a Laura story that you want to share?
Well, I guess, I'm so inarticulate. I realized a different history with Laura Ingalls Wilder than a lot of other people. I didn't read her when I was a young girl. I didn't read her until I was 18. And it was the last book of the series that came out. So she wasn't a young girl on the Midwest. She was getting married and starting her family in these happy golden years. And so that was my first Laura Ingalls Wilder, and I'd somehow missed the whole thing. Because I grew up in the olden days before the TV series. So You know, I didn't have that to inform me of it. And I do remember when the TV series started, I was very upset because I thought Michael Landon was all wrong to be Pa. And then
well,
I realized he had all the money and he got it on the air. So I had to give it to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, there were a lot of people who were upset by the choice of Michael Landon for Pa, especially because he didn't have a beard. And that apparently just in itself was a big deal breaker. There were letters to the editor and all sorts of things about how can it be Pa without a beard.
Yeah. No, it wasn't what my image of what that was going to be at all. And so, I mean, and I did in the end watch the show, but I still would go back to the books and to the wonderful Garth Williams illustrations. I mean, that's my real image of Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Yeah, I think he really somehow Garth Williams really captured the motion. I mean, I like the Helen Sewell Mildred Boyle version too, but especially for the clothes. Actually, I think the Sewell Boyle ones do the clothes better, but I think Garth
yeah.
Williams did just about everything else better, except he has the churn wrong. I am just totally convinced now. Because it looks to me, you know, in the picture like it's some kind of almost rocking horse style churn. But if you actually read the description, what Laura says, it's a box churn, you know, with the crank on the side, and it just rocked because they get off center with the cream. And he took that a little too literally, I think. But I knew as a foodie you'd appreciate that. Okay.
Oh, yes. No, and I guess my other is a sort of a sideways Laura story, which is meeting Barbara Walker, who wrote the Little House Cookbook. And that was just a wonderful thing. And it made me realize how many people that I work with who were introduced to the Little House books when they were younger also knew the cookbook and how that brought them into living history. And so, you know, that's sort of a side effect of the whole Laura series is how it's really interested young women in history and in the study of history and in the work that women did in the past, that those historic work that we don't do anymore was really interesting to them, and they wanted to do those sorts of things like churn butter and know the difference between a box churn and any other sort of churn.
Well, I really do think that is a definite strain in Laura fandom. It isn't everybody, and it always kind of surprises me it isn't everybody because it's definitely me, but you get in and they just do such a good job with the social history that you just want to know more about it. And then once you start reading the Laura books, there's something about it, and I just don't understand exactly what it is, but there's something about the Laura stories that make you want to dress up as Laura, no matter what your age is, at least if you're a girl. I hope that it's mostly the girls or the women who
that would be okay.
Yes. So there's an absolutely funny.
I really am impressed with the Laura books, too, is that because I didn't start reading them until I was in college, still enjoyable. They're well written enough. There's things going on. It's not just, it's not light. There's a lot of depth to them. And that to me, I think is part of their appeal, that there's a lot going on there in a lot of different places. And it just, I don't know, it's just deep. So.
Well, it's a very layered work. And
yeah.
I think pretty much every time you go back, you can find something else if you're open to it. And
yeah.
Especially every time you learn a little bit more about, well, to pick on one of our mutual interests, food waste, once you know a little bit about how that works, you discover, I mean, not that she doesn't do a great job painting pictures with her words, she really does, but once you have actually done some of the things yourself, then you sort of get it even more that, oh, yeah, that's exactly what she's saying there, and I didn't quite get that before. And it just, I strongly recommend rereading them. There's just so much there.
Yeah, no, they're pretty good. So now, of course, I really want to take some time to travel to go to all the Laura sites, because I had only recently, it's because of you that I realized that that's a sort of thing that was even possible to do. It never occurred to me that I could travel and see these places. And so that's like a whole other venture someday, my someday venture. Not in the middle of winter, though.
Mm-hmm.
Did I lose you? Yikes.
Okay, and we're back. I'm sorry about that. I was asking, Kathleen, you said you just sort of found out about that. How did you find out that was a thing that you could do?
I'm sorry, I missed part of the question.
Oh, okay. Okay, you just found out that visiting Laura home sites was something that you could do.
It never occurred to me that they were. I figured they were all private places, and you couldn't go to them, and that, or they'd been like torn down and improved upon. So it was through you, and you know, talking about things like Laurapalooza, and it's like, well, what do you mean? It's like you can go to these places, and so of course they're historic sites like other historic sites. I wasn't looking for them, so it never occurred to me to that I could find them. And I just think that's a whole other layer of places that I could go and things that I could do. Like, you know, follow those the travels and where the different things are. So...
Well, it's a little harder for you anyway, being on the East Coast. I mean, and I think maybe Midwest people know it a little bit more. But, it really is. Well, and I guess New York isn't all that far from you. And the Malone site is really worth going to. As I always say, it's a long drive down a 2-lane road from anywhere. But it is totally worth it because they started out, they got a late start. They weren't actually made into a museum until the 80s. But the first thing they did was they spent 2 summers having archaeological students come out and do a dig. So they like know exactly where the porches were on the house, where the outbuildings were, and then recreated that.
So they really started from the ground up. Nice going.
They did.
Yeah.
So it really is worth it. Oh, and it looks like we got another caller. I'm going to go ahead and put you back on hold, Kathleen, but if you don't mind, we may come back to you.
Okay.
So all right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and let's see if it'll... Studio is being annoying. There we go. All right, and I'm going to... go to our next caller, area code 812. Welcome to Laura's birthday party.
Hi, Sarah. This is Karen here.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling in.
Yeah. I was just, you know, you've met Kevin and myself, my husband Kevin and myself. I was just reminiscing about our Laura trip a couple years ago. We combined a trip to the different sites. Several of the sites with our trip to Laurapalooza, where we met you. And are you still there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We were just talking. We went to this Met, and we met Lori and Bill Souter there, who are other big Laura fans. And they actually hooked us up with, at the last minute, there was, a last-minute cancellation at the Prairie House Manor and breakfast, and we got to stay there. Like, totally did not have a reservation and got to stay there. And I remember thinking it was just like being in the book. Like, I felt like I was in Little Town on the Prairie. It was awesome. It was so much fun. And then we went to Laurapalooza, which was more awesomeness. And we went on the trip to Walnut Grove with everyone after Laurapalooza, and that was the day of our 5-year wedding anniversary. And we were literally in Plum Creek, on the banks of Plum Creek, on our 5-year wedding anniversary, and our anniversary dinner was a hot dog at the barbecue beef sandwich at the hall where the pageant dinner was. It was awesome. I mean, it seems silly, you know. Our 5-year anniversary dinner was, you know, at a pageant suburb. It could not have been more wonderful. It was awesome. But anyway, it was lots of fun, and it was, you know, it was like a dream vacation. I think I like that better than, like, going, you know, to Disney World or something. So, anyway, I just wanted to call and share, and that's pretty much it. So,
well, I'm so glad that you called in, because I think that and I'm so glad you came to Laurapalooza, because I think you really enjoyed it, and that's what we want to hear, that you really enjoyed your time coming there, and it sounds like it worked out great for you. Did you get to have Pancake Men for breakfast at the Prairie Manor?
I think Lori and Bill had Pancake Men. I might have had a bite of one. They gave us so much different food at the breakfast. Like, you know, I forget what I had, but it was delicious, and it was just so much fun, and it was just neat to, like, run into other people who were going to Laurapalooza in a few days. And
give a shout out to Jessica.
Oh, yeah, and we met Jessica Andrews, another Laura person, when we were at Laurapalooza. We were standing in line for Starbucks one morning when we first got there, and we were like, oh, hey, you know, and we still keep in touch to this day. We were commenting on each other's posts on Facebook earlier tonight, so, yeah. It was, you know, met a lot of new friends, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think you'd said on Facebook that you were making gingerbread. Did you really, or were you just being funny?
Yes, we haven't tasted it yet, but it is cooling. It's out of the oven. Yeah, so we did that last year,
well,
too.
So what was your experience making the gingerbread? Did you think it was hard, or did you follow, was it pretty easy to follow Laura's recipe?
I didn't think it was very, very difficult. I mean, pretty basic ingredients. I haven't tasted it yet, but last year I put chocolate icing on it, but I didn't have any this year, so we'll see how it compares.
Okay, now here's the big question. Did you put in half a cup of molasses or
I put in a full cup. So
good,
we'll
that's
see.
The right way.
Okay,
well, I hope it turns out all right. Well, did Kevin want to say anything himself instead of telling you what to say?
Yeah, do you want to say anything, Kevin?
Not in particular. I just, you know, you owe me a Star Wars convention.
Oh, he says I owe him a Star Wars convention. He's a very understanding husband. He went to all of these places with me that summer, and, like, we even went back to Mansfield this last fall for their event, but anyway, he goes to all of these things with me, and he's just so understanding and doesn't complain. He seems to enjoy it.
Heard the fiddle was really cool.
Oh, we heard Pa's fiddle last fall. We went to Mansfield and heard Pa's fiddle. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that is a big one. I mean, you could just sit there and listen to it all day. At least I could.
Yeah, it was. No. That's another, like, magic moment where you're like, this is the fiddle that Pa played and that Laura listened to and that she writes about. So, yeah, and I was standing there when they put it back in the case, you know, and the guy who played it, I forget his name, he said that it sounded better this, you know, like, I guess it always sounds good, but he said that it sounded especially good this year. So I thought that was neat to hear him say that. I wasn't talking directly to him. He was talking to the person at the museum who was opening up the case for him to put it back. But, yep.
Wow, sounds like it was a pretty neat experience.
Yes, it was.
Okay, well, did you have anything else you wanted to say? Or are you ready just to say happy birthday?
I'm ready to say happy birthday, Laura.
Okay, well, thank both of you for calling in. I appreciate it. And
thanks.
I'm going to put you back in the green room, and I just want to go ahead and make sure that if anybody else wants to call in, you can. The number is 1-877-633-9389. That's 1-877-633-9389. It is a toll-free number, and we're actually, I think we... there was one more person who said they were definitely going to call in, and they haven't yet. So I think we'll go ahead and bring Kathleen back on the line, if you don't mind, Kathleen.
Why? No, not all right. at all. No. I was just wondering, as they were talking about all the food they were eating in different places. See, it always gets back to food with me. I don't know, was there any birthday cake? I don't remember birthday cake in any of the Laura stories. I remember cakes. I remember pound cake, but I don't remember the heart-shaped cakes for Christmas. But I don't remember a birthday cake.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think she had one for the birthday cake. She had one for her wedding cake.
That's stirred
up with the fork at the end. And that's actually what I ended up doing when I was 9. We ended up having a Laura-themed birthday party for me. And my grandmother made me the Laura's wedding cake recipe. And it was not good. It was not good at all. But she tried. And that way I also got my first Laura dress from that thing. Birthday, so it was a good birthday overall, but I can't say that I recommend the cake. Okay,
it
looks
make
like
bride cake or the groom cake. No.
It was a yellow cake, and I'm not sure, let's see, there was a lot of having to stir up the eggs separately, the egg white the egg yolks and mixing it together. And it was a lot of work to do with a fork.
Oh, yeah.
Which, mm-hmm. Oh, we actually got some more calls. I'm going to put you back in the green room, Kathleen. We'll try one of the other calls. Okay. The switchboard just all of a sudden lit up. So, okay, again, area code 858, you're coming on first. And party.
Oh, hi, it's Jan from Poway, California.
Oh, hi. Thanks for calling in. Do you have a Laura story to share?
I don't have a Laura story to share, except that I was just watching the news, and they were telling a story about the Stradivarius that was stolen and recovered, and it made me think of hearing Pa's fiddle being played at the Wilder Days a few months ago in Mansfield, and how moved I was by that, and it made me remember your Laura birthday party. So that's why I called, Sarah.
Well... That's good. I'm glad you did. It is really something to hear Pa's fiddle. And in case anybody's out there hasn't heard it yet and you want to, the time you're really guaranteed to do it is during Wilder Days in September. They sometimes play it at other times of year, but that's the one you're really guaranteed to hear it. And if you want to hear it as a recording, Laura Ingalls Wilder Speaks is the one you want to get, because that's the recording that has just the fiddle, so you can really hear it. But it really, I think, is worth a trip just to go hear Pa's fiddle. How about you?
I agree, and I did post on my Facebook page some of the young man that was playing Pa's fiddle that day. I posted the video of that so they can see it on my see and hear it on my Facebook page.
Okay, well, good.
Thanks.
All right. Well, since I got a couple other callers here, did you have anything else, or did you just want to say happy birthday?
I just wanted to say happy birthday. Let's hear what everybody else has to say.
Okay. Thank you for calling in. Okay, next up is area code 417. 417, you should be on the air.
Yes. Sarah?
Uh-huh.
Hello? This is Philip Bennett from Mansfield, Missouri, the home of Paul's Fiddle.
I was about to give up on you because you said you were going to call, and then it hasn't called yet, so I'm glad you got through.
Yeah, me too.
I had
other engagements, but I'm glad I made the contact with you, and happy birthday to Laura, and she had done so much, you know, for our children and the books that she has written, and she's the reason that we're all together, and we have her to thank.
Well, that is certainly true. I think she has made a major positive influence on a lot of people's lives. And some of you might remember last year, Phil came on and told us about his experience of actually meeting Laura, which was a really cool thing. So, and this year you said that you were going to have your wife talk too, right?
Yes, if I get her convinced. She hasn't said a no yet, but she's in the next room, and maybe she'll speak in a few moments. But I just have a few things to say. Here in Mansfield, David Scrivener is a young man who played the fiddle, and he's very talented. And I'm very active in the Ozark Mountain Players put on annually. And our website is larsmemories.com. And that will tell the Lars fans about this year's schedule. And we're increasing the number of shows this year. And speaking of playing the fiddle, I play a part of Paul Ingalls, and I also play a fiddle in the play. And I play it in one particular scene. There's 12 scenes to our play, and in the first act, the scene I play in, the fiddle in, is on the trail. It's the moment that she wrote about after they crossed the river and Jack was lost, and he didn't make it back to him until that night and at the camp. And he was playing the fiddle for the girls. And this is my... ninth year as playing Paul, and I really enjoy it. Our cast, well, one year we had over 80 in the cast, and most of our cast members are children. And as I said, there are 12 scenes, and each scene depicts a...
Phil, can I break in just for a second? I just want to tell everybody, I have just set this up for a half hour, but since we've suddenly got all these calls, it will continue to record, but if you're streaming on the computer, it's going to go away pretty soon. If you're calling in by phone, you'll still be here, able to hear the rest of the episode. Otherwise, come back and catch us from the archive, but I'm going to keep going as long as people are willing to talk, So come and check it later. Okay, Phil, go ahead. You're talking about playing Pa.
Yes, it's a musical. There's comedy in it and drama, and there's original tunes for every scene. And we have two wonderful directors. Pat Allen, she's a musical composer. She's written most of the songs. And Terry Spires is a director and playwright, and these two ladies have been doing it this is the 24th year, and each year they add or they change the scenes, and it's a lot of fun, and we do a lot for the children, and the net proceeds that we make from the play that goes to sponsor scholarships for the graduating high school seniors who take part in our production. And I want to invite all the Lars fans to come and watch us. Our first show is July the 5th. So, yes, I was fortunate to meet Mrs. Wilder when she came to Mansfield. Mansfield School and gave a talk about her books. And matter of fact, I live probably about 2 miles from Rocky Ridge Farm. And I share a lot of stories about the Wilders. For example, where I live now, my father-in-law, when he was younger, he lived just a few yards down the road from where I live now. And he could remember, of course, he's deceased now, but he told me stories about Almanzo and where he lived, as I said, about 2 miles. His goats would often get out. As you know, goats are difficult to keep in.
Goats?
But,
Actually, my mom ended up butchering the one she raised her 4-H because she said she just couldn't put up with it anymore because he just kept climbing out the barn on the rafters and all this stuff and getting out all these crazy, ridiculous Houdini ways. But, yeah, goats get out.
They're more like deer. You know, you know how difficult it would be to pin in a deer. But anyway, my father-in-law, Morse Moody, he remembered Almanzo would come down the road looking for his goats, and they'd stop by the house and said, ask if they'd seen his goats. So and back then they didn't have the bush hogs or anything to really cut down the brush. Most of the farmers in this area kept goats, and they would go around to the country, you know, and do as they please. They're very difficult to control, but they kept the brush and undergrowth down, and they did more efficiently than the bush hogs of today, and they did a lot cheaper.
But, that's true.
And as later on in the years, my father-in-law grew up, and he learned the mechanic skills, and he worked on the automobiles in the Nashville area. And he can remember Almanzo bringing his vehicle in for servicing. And my uncle played pool with Almanzo in the downtown pool hall. So I'm 67 years old, and matter of fact, the farm I was raised on was just about 3 miles east of Rocky Ridge. I'll try to get my wife. She was a docent. She worked at the Wilder Home Museum for over 10 years, I think, and she knows more about the Wilders than I do.
Well, I think
no,
she's love to hear.
She's not feeling very well, and she said
okay.
Maybe the next time.
Okay. Well, I hope so, because I think it would be interesting to hear some of her stories too. It really is great to get an opportunity to hear somebody, you know, who has family stories about Laura and Almanzo. So I appreciate you calling in and sharing that. And just anybody out there, if you haven't gone, I know the pageants that people hear about the most for some reason tend to be the Walnut Grove and DeSmet one, but the Mansfield pageant is completely different, and it is well worth a visit. So if you haven't gone to see it, go to see it, and it has great songs, and it has the best basketball for the seats, which if you've sat through a couple of the other ones, you know how important that is. So thank you so much for calling in, Phil, and I still hope that we can get together a couple people from the pageant to call in, and we can just talk about the pageant some night.
Okay, yes, that'd be great, and I encourage everyone to come. I don't think you'd be disappointed. I haven't spoken to one person yet that has been disappointed that they came. One year we had a group from Japan. They were part of the Japanese fan club, Laura Ingalls Wilder fan club, and they arranged their vacation to coincide with the play. So, and we've had people last year from Australia, from all over, but of course, most of the visitors are from the Midwest. But last year, we had several from Canada. So word is getting out that about our play, although it's 24 years, the Internet has been a great help in getting the information out. But I promise you, if you come, you will leave with a smile on your face and music in your heart, because we really go all out and try to do our best, and at a professional level. even though we have a number of children in the play, our directors are very adamant about putting on a professional level of performance. So I hope to see you this summer.
Well, I hope I can get to Mansfield this year, too. I have been trying to get back there for the last 2 years, and it always seems like something keeps coming up whenever I think I got a good chance to get there. So I really hope I can get – you know what? There's an old Jewish saying where they say next year Jerusalem, and I've been saying next year Mansfield, and I think I've been saying it for long enough. So I hope I get there this year.
Well, I do, too. By the way, did you get the brochures?
I did.
Good.
They have them available online, the brochures, if anybody wants to print them out. And they're one of the things that I give out when I do my presentation, so to help spread the word.
Well, we appreciate all you do.
Okay. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to say for tonight, or do you just want to say happy birthday?
Yes, happy birthday, and how time flies by. I'm 67 years old, and it just seemed like last year I was just a kid running around Mansfield School, and it was a very exciting time when Mrs. Wilder came to visit us. And until next time, it's good talking to you, Sarah, and to all the Laura fans. And I wish you all a good night.
Okay. Good night, Phil. Thanks for calling in. Okay. And since you started us out, Kathleen, I'm coming back to you for the end, even though we're just on recording time now. I want to thank you for being the first caller and holding out the whole episode. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, and no problem. No. So it went really fast. I couldn't believe you said we were running out of time.
But this is
a really good thing to do, and you're really good to do this. So,
well, I hope we can be sort of a sharing and meeting place for Laura fans and helping get the words out various ways, and it's a nice different way to do it, to have the podcast, but it does count on people calling in. And so, especially with this episode, I always get a little nervous. Will people actually call in or not? but we ended up having a good show, I think, tonight with everything. And even though you called in tonight on your own, I hope we can get you scheduled another time to talk about, you know, historic foodways a little bit and a little bit more about exactly what that means and some of the basics. I think it would be a fun episode. Because as I started to say before, that's the path that sets you in. You start, there's something about the books that makes you want to dress like Laura. And then once you dress like Laura, you want to dress better and get more accurate. And then you want to learn how to cook. And then you realize that you need the right tools. And that gets you into collecting things and gardening so you can grow the right kind of food that you need. And it's just a terribly dangerous path to go on.
No, it really is great. No, and I'd love to come back and talk about it because she has so many different kitchens and so many different circumstances. It's like five different lifetimes. Every time they move, they start all over again. But they always take certain things with them. And that, to me, is what's important, you know. So about what's good and how to take care of things and what they should be looking for. So happy birthday, Laura, and thank you, Sarah, for pulling together a great party.
Laura, where I do a challenge or a project for people to do once a month, and last month's project was that they were supposed to get one of the older people they know to handwrite out a recipe for them and for them to handwrite out a recipe and give it to a younger person. And this next one's going to be, well, it's going to be a stove after your time. I've got about an 1890 cook stove, and it's going to be to learn the basic parts of the cook stove is going to be the challenge for the month. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay,
well, thank you once again for calling in and being very patient, Kathleen. And thank you to everybody else who called in, but unless you have something else that you want to share, I think we'll probably go ahead and call it a night since we're now 11 minutes over.
Okay. Night.
All right. Thank you. Do you want to say happy birthday?
Happy birthday, Laura.
Thank you. And again, I appreciate everybody who called in tonight. And we will do this again next Laura's birthday, February 7th. So you have a whole year to think about what you want to say and call in. I really appreciate everybody being here. And I will catch you again on Trundle Bed Tales.